Hey guys, on this week's episode of Epic Rhythm and Brews, we ramble on for 30 minutes about the 1950s.
Yeah, we do.
It's pretty cool. We talk about all the different super cool genres that this crazy, crazy time totally gave birth to and get off on a lot of random tangents. And then we talk a little bit, of course, about the albums that we assigned each other last week. Spoiler alert. Parker keeps assigning me albums that I can't find, so that's fun.
This is only the second time, though.
In five. Two out of five.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, give it a shot and check us out. Welcome to Epic Rhythm and Brews. I'm one of your hosts, Lainey. Introduce yourself, fool.
I'm the other host, Parker.
And together we're the leaders of your dummy parade.
Yes, we are.
So we're coming back at you after a little bit of a prolonged absence. Sorry, guys. Life is life. And sometimes stuff happens in school and school and...
Life and school.
Yeah, it just kind of is what it is. So, but we're back.
Yeah, we are.
And we're super stoked to record today. We're actually going to start something new today. But before we get into that, let's ask America's favorite question. Andrew Parker, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Shiner Bock. Just a regular old Shiner Bock. It's
just
been a while.
Just a plain old Shiner Bock like a good old boy from Texas.
Yeah.
Is that it? Is that
sure.
It? Did I get it right? Did I do it right?
Spot on.
Yes.
What are you drinking?
Well, I was going to lie, but Parker talked me out of it. So I made kind of a cocktail. I made a German cocktail called a Rattler, or however you say it. I don't know. But it's basically like a little lemonade and some fresh lemon juice with a beer poured kind of over it. Some people also put, extra alcohol in there. I think that kind of defeats the purpose, but...
Does it, though?
Well, the reason it's called a Rattler is it's like the German word for bike.
Right.
And so the purpose of it is like you drink it when you're trying to sober up.
Mm-hmm. But...
So I would think that putting more alcohol in it wouldn't really help. Knowing what I know about biology and how metabolism and stuff works, I don't think that that's really going to help very much.
I mean,
as a seasoned drinker.
So what did you say the name of the drink was?
It's like a Rattler, like an R. I think it's R-A-T-L-E-R.
Huh.
Are you going to look it up right now?
Well, because you said it's German for bike?
Something like that. This is all stuff that I heard from the YouTube channel that I learned how to make this off of.
Oh, well, I know that bike in German is Fahrrad. So
okay, well, fine.
Definitely not that.
Well, all right. No, it's Rattler. It's R-A-D-L-E-R. Maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe it means like...
It doesn't mean bike. I know that much.
All right. Well, then you tell me... No, it means cyclist. Ha.
There you go.
That makes
more sense.
Boom. There. Perfect. Cyclist. It means cyclist.
So you can get home, but still be drinking, though.
Exactly.
That's everybody wants.
So we'll go ahead and introduce our topic. So Parker and I had discussed... the idea of possibly doing kind of some series on the show, you know, maybe not every episode, like every single episode back to back, but like maybe start a series and kind of touch on it every now and then. And we decided that what we really want to start off with was a series about different decades, because obviously every moment in time has a soundtrack, and that soundtrack is usually really indicative of where music was heading at the time and what current events were happening at the time. And, you know, so we figured we'd go pretty much as far back as Parker will let us. And that would be,
well, that, I mean, I don't know. I don't like a lot of big band stuff. You know,
I know you don't.
And then you have to skip about 100 years to get back to music that I'm comfortable with.
Exactly. There's a big gap in the stuff that Parker listens to. So we're going to start off with the '50s.
Yes.
Yes. So Parker's, I think Parker might actually be leading this discussion. So, you know, us guys, we're just more of a free-willing convo than anything else.
Wait, I'm leading this?
What? I'm gonna make you leave this.
Since when?
Just cause. Sink or swim. Let's right. do this. No, we both know I can't give up any control. Nope. So, but we'll just go ahead and dive on in. So, I mean, when you think of the 50s, Parker, what do you think of?
I think of the birth of rock and roll.
Obviously.
That's just kind of the first thing that comes to mind. And then, obviously, basically, I just think of Elvis Presley, I guess, is probably if we're going to get down
I think it's it. Interesting that that's where your mind first goes, because that's not where my brain first goes.
Well, who do you think of?
Chuck Berry.
Oh, okay. Well, that's two sides of the same coin, right?
It is. It really is two sides of the exact same coin.
But yeah, speaking of which, we talked about Chuck Berry and his death a couple episodes ago. And
yeah,
here we are kind of going back to what...
Going back and talking about him.
Briefly touched on when that went down.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is called a callback.
It is called a callback.
So, well done us.
But, and then I also think of kind of the birth of one of the few, I guess, mainly very Americana things that came out. Because really up to this point, we've just kind of brought in a lot of other stuff from other countries, especially mm-hmm. music-wise. We just kind of adopted, you know, what all the immigrants were listening to when they came in.
Well, except jazz. Jazz is one of the few types of music that we can call purely American.
Absolutely.
Which is super cool.
Which is the birth of this. And then, you know, there's a bunch of semantics about what was actually jazz and all that stuff, which kind of, but this is definitely just kind of the extension of jazz. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, essentially it just, yeah, it's kind of where it all came from. But this
yeah,
is,
I mean, the 50s, I'm sorry, go ahead.
But yeah, this is definitely where it came into front and center of American culture. Because before then it was just jazz and all that stuff was mainly kind of hidden and wasn't in the forefront of everyone's mind like it was in the 50s when it just exploded.
Exactly. Agreed. Very much agreed.
Good.
But, no, I think one of the cool things too about the 50s is like it saw such a big turnover in the kind of music that was popular. Because at the start, you know, you were still, there's still a lot of that big band stuff, you know, the early part of the early half of the century, it was still a lot of crooners with a big band playing in the background. You know, you had your Frank Sinatra and you had your Perry Como and your Rosemary Clooney and all this kind of good stuff. But it's kind of interesting if you watch the way that I personally think that the evolution of the crooners directly fed into a lot of like the big pop idols that were really, really big in the 50s. Because the 50s, I mean, huge time for rock and roll, but also a huge time for like the teen idol, because the teenager was kind of like king at that time. You know, they were looking for a very specific audience.
Yeah, this is the first time in American history where the teenager was even considered a, you know, group
a thing.
Of person. Yeah,
it wasn't really a thing until the 50s.
Right. And, you know, people had more time to pursue other things other than, you know,
war,
whether or not they're going to eat the next day because, you know, the 30s
because
were pretty bad.
We're in the middle of a massive world war and everybody's rationing.
Yeah, and people don't really just have time to just pick up and play a guitar. So
no, everybody's chilling with their GI bills and like hanging out.
Exactly. So I think that was definitely a huge reason why this stuff picked up so quickly, and then we can start getting into the radio and recording. Was much, much easier, and being able to broadcast the stuff to a national level and people able to have money to actually buy these radios. So all these people with different backgrounds are able to listen to other types of music and start blending and kind of putting stuff together and coming up with these new genres that were never around before.
Right.
Which is pretty cool to, and then you can even go later with the people in the 60s and 70s were able to grew up listening to these guys because they were able to listen to the radio.
To the radio. Well, and that's just the thing. It's like radio wasn't just used as like a, you know, means for, I don't know. It became, you're right, because so many people could afford radios in their households and their vehicles and everything. It became a much bigger thing. It became a huge phenomenon. And you had really cool DJs who, right, you know, like Alan Freed in Ohio, who started playing R&B music, like, yeah, right, for everybody.
Yeah. And so you start to spread, you know, what they called black music to white people. And then these white people are like, oh, hey, this stuff's actually pretty good.
And then you even take somebody like Elvis Presley and put a white face on it.
Exactly. And
then way more super, super conservative white, well, just white people in general, especially back then, mm-hmm, you know, are more willing to listen to it. As I like to say, Elvis was the Eminem of his time.
Yeah, he was the Eminem of a time. And he even talks about it, too. Well, he did talk, mm-hmm, about it.
Absolutely. He totally did talk about it.
And a lot of times he just straight up said, yeah, it's like, I took this music and just kind of shared it with other people. And because I was not black, people wanted to listen to it. Which...
Hear that, Macklemore? Do you hear how he did that? That's how you do that.
Wow.
Sorry.
Burn notice. Watch out.
Burn notice. But
which is pretty cool. But then you start getting your big players, your Chuck Berry's, your Les Paul kind of introducing.
Oh, Les Paul. Can we talk about Les Paul and the multi-track recording system and all that and how that totally like helped revolutionize? Like, you guys don't understand. Like, even just like the production of some of this stuff is really like, was huge for its time. If you have not checked out the docuseries Sound Breaking, you really, really should.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's incredible. They did a whole thing about multi-track recording, and it's so interesting. Like, oh, they get into, which we'll get into this in the next part of the series, but they get into so much of that, like, of the wall of sound, which that's more Phil Spector, but yeah, it's just, it's really cool. It's really interesting to me the way that Les Paul basically convinced a lot of people that he was magic. Then was like, nope, yeah, this is just how I do this.
Completely redefined what people thought you could possibly do with music.
Mm-hmm.
Because before then, no one really knew you could get this, you know, depth of sound and all this stuff in one time, and it just kind of blew everyone's nips off because it's super,
absolutely,
super awesome. And not only that, really, but did, also introducing people to what we know as the modern guitar that you could plug in and it would make, you know, it wasn't just all acoustic, and it was, I mean, we haven't really moved on much from his Les Paul that he made in, you know, early mid 50s. So that accessibility to that, of course, enabled a lot of people to play that, you know, quote, heavier sound with the electric guitar, which, you know, we wouldn't have a lot of stuff with if it wasn't for that.
Just think of all the stuff that we wouldn't have without multi-track recording. I mean, damn.
Yeah, right? And how far recording quality has come since that is pretty amazing.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite things, though, from that time was because my aunt used to tell me about this, how she used to get up and watch the show every, like, I think it came on like Saturdays or something, and she so badly wanted to be on it, but like American Bandstand was like a huge thing.
Yeah.
And that had a lot of, like, you know, your, that to me was kind of like, it was like when we had TRL, it was kind of the same thing, you know, and it took
exactly
a lot of
what
TRL was in the late 90s and early 2000s, I think American Bandstand was in the 50s, because it took, well, it took, right, like all of those like teen idols, you know, like Bobby Darin and Frankie Avalon and Paul Anka and, you know, yep, Connie Francis and all of these people, and like put them on a center stage for the nation to see, you know, and had like teenagers dancing to it, you know, it was just a whole thing. I think that's so fascinating. Like, it's just, it's very much like history repeating itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, even and spreading all of that to even more people, which is really, really cool. And just people, and I guess the whole like cool factor starts coming in where it's,
yeah,
it's like super hip and trendy to be in a rock and roll band or listen to rock and roll and not what the old fogies used to listen to.
Yeah, like there's like a very specific turnover, because like the first part of the century, you've got the big band and the swing that was like super popular at the end of World War II, and then it's like, you know, with the orchestras and everything, and then those crooners turn into these
the
pop stuff. Artists.
Yeah.
Well, not even, that's not even until the later part of the decade.
Well, I guess that's true. That's kind of an extension of that, but yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't until way later in the decade. But yeah, like, I think that that's really interesting, the way that that kind of, because like Frank Sinatra is still a big deal, you know, like.
Right, yeah, absolutely, but.
Perry Como is still a big deal.
But then you get that distinction between people who listen to that older style music and then this new, different type of music that is really, really different from anything that was out there before.
Exactly. Well, and I think that that's kind of cool. My dad used to talk to me about that, about how when he was a kid, like, he used to think that, like, his dad's, like, Frank Sinatra records and, like, all that big band stuff, like his Dean Martin stuff, was just so stupid and, you know, yeah, it was just so old-fashioned and, like, not cool. Mm-hmm. And now that he's older, obviously, like, as he got became an adult, he got way more into it. But, like, you know, it was, I guess I didn't realize when I was a kid, like, how that was all kind of pushed together in the same era.
Well, and because they come from distinctly different origins. I mean, that big band stuff, honestly, was just an extension and just an evolution of, you know, orchestras.
Exactly.
And your blues and your R&B stuff was, something from a very, very different background. You know, all that stuff came, you know, from Africa and settled in the South and in the Caribbean. And so it was a, you know, a very, very different style of music that evolved in a different way. So yeah, these two different genres clashing at one time. And so there was a very, very large distinction between the two. And that's why I think it's hard for people to, you know, switch from one to the other, because they weren't used to anything like that before, which is pretty cool.
Exactly.
And I like that that rapid change and how quickly stuff, you know, developed between, you know, you think the early 50s and then you end up, you know, to 1959, 1960. It's a huge growth.
Massive, massive difference.
Absolutely.
Massive change in sound, too, of just, like, what's popular.
Yeah, and, you know, people experimenting and seeing what this new rock and roll could actually end up being. Because, you know, there's a huge difference, because you're basically going from spanning from the late 40s to early 60s. It's not even close to the same type of music.
Absolutely.
And that huge shift happened because of, you know, a couple really, really big giants in the field.
And it was really, like, dominated, too, by, like, a lot of big names. But you still had, like, little bands coming in and out all the time.
Oh, yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, just like with anything else. And then what I especially like about this time period is really the growth of, like, subgenres.
Oh, man. There's a ton of subgenres. Like, even, like, within, like, popular music, you've got, like, the one little, like, aspect where, like, R&B influenced a lot of that. And that's how you got a lot of, like, acts like the Coasters and the Platters and all that good stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. And they were, like, little, like, novelty bands that became, like, massive successes and, like, huge acts at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool.
And from the different kind of realms that they took, like, if you got the rock and roll that had a lot of influence of country music,
mm-hmm.
You get that rockabilly stuff, which is,
oh, the rockabilly stuff.
Yeah, and then you get the doo-wop people, which are coming in from that same bluesy area, but they take it in a completely different direction, but yet it still has that same kind of seed of origin. But I really like the whole subgenre thing of people taking an idea and running with it with their different influences. I really like that a lot.
Well, that's how doo-wop started.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that was just a subgenre, mm-hmm. of popular music, really, you know, which I think is kind of cool, because you've got something that was kind of popularized. Well, no, I wouldn't say popularized. I'm trying to think of how to explain this. You've got something that kind of started as, like, you know, just regular popular music, but was developed, like, with a lot of, like, African-American influences, you know, like, in a lot of the neighborhoods and big cities like New York and Philly and Chicago and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, and it's just, all it is just vocal harmony. And it just comes from people singing in the street with their friends. Like, that's all it is.
Yep.
So, of course, I love stuff like that. That's more my jam than it is Parker's.
All right. But one of my favorites, I think, and really, really big, especially for the R&B crowd, was Little Richard.
Oh, man.
And
oh, Little Richard.
What he started early in the 50s is just really awesome. And he killed it, and everyone loved him, and he changed the game so much in a really little, very small amount of time, too.
Lucky us, right?
And he had that funkiness that I'm a very big fan of, that James Brown then eventually took to its logical conclusion. And I love that funk. It's good stuff.
That's so funny to me that, like, that was your jam. I love that. I think that's just cool.
Oh,
but yeah.
Man.
But yeah, I mean, people don't realize that without Little Richard, we wouldn't have James Brown. And where would we be without James Brown?
Exactly. I mean, any kind of music you hear now with any funk in it is, you can owe all of that to Little Richard and him.
Looking at you, Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Exactly, or, you know, anybody else, really, that has any kind of funk to it. And I think a lot of that funkiness is really, really good because it kind of brought drums into more of a forefront and kind of dominated a lot of that sound back in the day, which kind of lends itself to really that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
that I still like jazz, that earlier jazz, not stuff that got too crazy in the 70s, but...
No, yeah, jazz got real weird.
Pretty crazy.
Well, and then you had... Okay, I thought this was kind of funny, because I hadn't made the connection, but, like, some of the trends, too, that, like, came out in the 50s were, like, the calypso trend of music, you know, with, like, people like Harry Belafonte. And
I was
going to
bring up calypso.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, but no, keep going.
To the fun.
But it's... You'll see why.
But it's just so funny to me because it reminded me, okay, do you remember when we were kids and they had, like, the Latin explosion and we had Ricky Martin and Enrique Iglesias and all that good stuff?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Menudo got popular in the United States again for once.
Did it?
Yeah, for, like, a hot minute.
Oh.
But it kind of reminded me of that, where it's like, ooh, this is different. Like,
it is. Getting a little Latin flavor.
Ooh, and, like, just as soon as it started, it just, like, left again.
Yeah, because everyone's like, oh, it's the same thing, just over and over.
Oh, I see. You know, it's folk songs. It's like Jamaican and Caribbean folk songs.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was funny. But yeah, and then we got people like Harry Belafonte, who has one of the greatest names of all time.
Yes, absolutely. Harry Belafonte.
So why were you going to bring up calypso music?
Because it was, little did people know that it was the birth of ska music. And that really makes me happy.
I never thought about that. You're totally right.
Yeah, because ska is just taking calypso and bringing a little bit of rock to it. And then, boom, you have that.
And making it a little faster.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, that first wave of ska wasn't really fast. I mean, you know, because there's like three big waves of ska. But that first one was pretty simple, but you could definitely, the accentuated downbeat. And the pickups and a lot of snare and stuff. But, and, you know, I have a soft spot for ska music.
Oh, so. I know you do.
Because it's so crazy.
I know you do.
We can talk about the other side of all this. The birth of, I guess, what we would call modern country music.
I know, right?
The golden era of your... Patsy Cline's and Hank Williams and...
God, thank God for the 50s. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine a world with no Patsy Cline?
Right?
I would be sad.
Marty Robbins, which is...
Oh, God. Woody Guthrie?
Yes.
Well, Woody Guthrie was even before that, but...
True. Yeah, that's the... that whole... I guess the Plains... country music, I guess what we would call like country, mm-hmm. like Texas country. I don't even know if that's, you know, a lot of people are singing around in Lubbock and
oh,
place,
yeah,
you know, Texas and which is pretty cool. George Jones, people like that. You start bringing in that type of music that, again, was pretty localized of immigrants coming in and just playing, you know, their type of blues, I guess. And then you get that acoustic guitar coming in with your R&B and blues, and then you get rockabilly stuff, which is pretty cool.
Well, the 50s gave us the Everly Brothers, too.
Oh, man. So good.
And really and truly, where would we be? Where would this world be without the Everly Brothers?
Everly Brothers. And that harmony.
I mean, yes. And just some incredible songwriting. Like, just classic. I love that. And they kind of spanned a lot of different stuff because, you know, they had the country and, like, the rockabilly.
Yeah, and they kind of bounced back from both of those.
Bridged it over to more of, like, a rock and roll fan base, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. Which I like that kind of now more bands are basically kind of one genre mostly that they kind of focus on. But a lot of these early guys were, no one knew what these things were, so they were just trying out everything.
Everything, which, oh God, that's so, like, can you imagine? Like, you're so lucky. Like, nothing, it doesn't really matter because, like, you're just going to try whatever and see if it works. Like, you just throwing shit at the wall till something sticks.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they would hear different kinds of music they've never heard before, and like, hey, I want to make some songs that's got a little bit of this in it, or I want
to
take
and like
this
so
really
hard
old song and remake it. Yeah,
that's so hard to find out because everything is just a, you know, somebody throwing up something that they've that's already been done. But
yeah, this stuff was just the birth of all that, and I think that's probably a really cool time to be around for a musician because all this stuff is so new and fresh and. Like I said, no, there was no wrong answer. You just made whatever you want to make. You know?
Agreed. You know what? Can I mention this, by the way? One of my favorite things about rockabilly music is that there was, obviously everybody's heard Rock Around the Clock, but Bill Haley's band name was Bill Haley and his Comets. And I just,
yes,
the genius.
His Comets. His.
Genius. Mm-hmm. I
Not
love that.
Comments.
His Comets. Yeah. His Comets. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I love wordplay.
Yeah, that's always fun.
And you got see lots of Johnny Cash, and he looks crazy young and kind of terrifying. Johnny Cash, by the way, like if you've never looked up pictures of young Johnny Cash, go do it, and like you're gonna be a little scared because
he was probably one of the coolest guys to hang out with.
He probably was one of the coolest guys to hang out with, but he looks like he was would like bury you somewhere deep in the woods, and no one would find you.
Yeah, because, you know, everyone's heard that, you know, playing at Folsom Prison, blah, 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 wearing black, oh, funeral, whatever.
I love that.
But it, everyone just seems like, oh, you know, he was just trying to put on this act. It's like, that's just who he was.
No, I think he was, yeah, I think he was just like that. I think he was just kind
of. Like, he really was just that much of a badass that just didn't care.
Yeah.
And did his own thing. And
he was like, whatever.
Yeah, and I love that. It's
I love that.
So much fun.
So funny.
Okay, so you know
no.
A lot more about the doo-wop-y stuff.
Uh-huh.
Who are the big people doing that, and what, I don't know, just kind of regale us on some doo-wop-y stuff.
Okay, well, like, if you're wondering what doo-wop music is.
Yeah, let's, for the people in the back who don't know.
All right, so listen up.
What do we got?
Everybody's heard In the Still of the Night. If you've seen Dirty Dancing, you've heard In the Still of the Night, by the Five Satins. That's a classic doo-wop song. Let's see. Shaboom. That's a classic doo-wop song. Trying to think. Oh, Book of Love. Everybody knows that song. That's classic doo-wop. So, basically what doo-wop music is it is, like I said, it is a genre of music that was developed by, you know, people living in poor neighborhoods of big cities and standing on the corner with their friends and singing. singing. Yeah. And just singing with their friends and coming up with, it's kind of like a take on, I would say, like a barbershop quartet kind of.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? You know, you're using just your vocals.
Yes.
So, which is really cool. And it has such a tie to really like African American culture, just with like the spirituals and some gospel. Like it's really incredible. So, it kind of like during the 50s, and this is more like the late 50s. Like it didn't become popular until like,
so yeah, that was a little later on, right?
Yeah, like 56, 57 is when it kind of started to be a little bit bigger of a thing, and it really blew up in like the early 60s.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So but yeah, it's like you've got like all of this stuff kind of starting to, you know, show up in like the mainstream or whatever, but it's really characterized by, it's all about vocal harmony, random syllables. I call it like scatting's like nerdy younger brother.
Yeah, just trying to fill the time between the next beat, basically.
Yeah, it's a simple beat. Uh-huh. There's very little to no instrumental and instrumentation, anything in it, and it's very simple music and lyrics.
Yeah, just enough to be a cohesive song. And
yeah,
not
so like Led Zeppelin, not a doo-wop group.
No,
sure. Yeah. But because, I mean, think about it. You're trying to, like, the special ingredient in doo-wop music isn't the lyrics. It's the sound. It's all about the sound. It's all about all this incredible stuff that you can do with just your voice. Mm-hmm. So that's a reason that I really love it. Being a big old choir nerd, I sang a lot of songs like this because we don't need any instruments. So, which meant nobody had to hire a pianist to accompany us.
No accompaniment.
Yeah, which means way less money. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. It's, if you don't listen to a lot of doo-wop music, at least go like take a little deep dive. It's totally worth it. What I love is like the late 40s and early 50s like brought out groups. Like they literally call them bird groups because you have like,
yes,
the Swallows, the Orioles, the Penguins.
The Penguins.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. The band names were so awesome. It was like,
so hilarious.
The Nouns.
Yeah.
Just whatever the Nouns. Like my favorite is the Platters and the Coasters.
The Platters and the Coasters. Awesome. I love the Coasters. But I love that. Doo-wop music too always makes me think of like the 90s kids movies that we used to watch, because it's all 50s music in there. If you ever go back and listen, like go watch Sandlot and you'll hear it, which that is even like early 60s, but there's still a lot of that in there. So, but yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, you've got like groups like the Five Satins who have like a lot of really famous like doo-wop hits, and obviously the Coasters and all that kind of good stuff, but it's just really interesting. I think it's kind of cool. Like, and it makes me a little sad that I feel like doo-wop has like now grown into like, it's like remorphed itself into these a cappella bands like freaking Pentatonics now, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of stuff will never really ever totally leave. Just having three or four people, or I guess NSYNC people up to five, just singing, and that's the whole point. With a little bit of a accompaniment in the back, but just
an NSYNC you couldn't even really call too doo-wop-y because that was more like R&B style, like lots of harmonies.
Oh no, not like pure doo-wop, but that's kind of the what doo-wop
Genesis
now.
And that was kind of the genesis of that boy bandy sound that we got in the 90s.
Absolutely.
Everybody had to have super tight harmonies.
Yes.
You know, and be able to do a lot of a cappella songs because that's how you got Ron Perlman to listen to you when you went down to Orlando and sang for Jive Records.
Yeah. You had the pipes. If you didn't have the pipes, then you got nothing.
Yeah. Fun fact, 98 Degrees probably had some of the best vocals of any boy band in the 90s, and y'all all slept on them.
Yep.
Myself included.
Easily the most talented of the slew of boy bands.
Yeah.
Which is too bad because they wrapped it up in terrible lyrics and music.
And meatball packaging. Oh, look like a bunch of gym rats.
Meatball packaging.
Yeah, they look like meatheads.
Yeah, they do.
Well, actually just one of them. But he was like the main one, so.
And what was his name again?
Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey, that's right.
I didn't know if you were baiting me when you asked me that question to see, like, I know she's going to know the exact name right off the top
of
her. Well,
that's why I asked you, because I knew that you would know.
I can't help it.
Because I don't keep up on my 98 degrees factoids.
How dare you? How right? very dare you, sir?
I don't know.
That's okay.
So, one of the things that I really, really like about the 50s and the whole... is, like, the novelty of it. Was that it? They didn't really take themselves super seriously.
Not at all. You didn't have like the Kurt Cobains going like, "This is too commercial and bullshit," or like Fiona Apple at
Grammys
or wherever the hell she was, like flipping everybody off.
Or even like, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, where I was like, "Man, we're making some really important music, man. Like this
Are
stuff
we?
Is blowing our minds." And
Are we Buffalo Springfield? Are we?
Going to a higher plane of existence. It's like, these people are just trying to make music they really enjoyed and...
make a little money at it, if they could. And because everything was so new and so exciting. Like, it was really like the sunrise of all of this stuff, which is so cool. Like, I love that. It's so neat.
Yeah, and it gave people a little bit of a... you know, because a lot of sad stuff, especially the, I guess, that country music of... you know, everyone being super, super sad all the time. But,
right?
Yeah, but then that kind of went away relatively quick of people, you know, just singing about heartbreak and stuff all the time. That kind of, I mean, kind of fell to the wayside more as the decade went on, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, people were just trying to have fun, not, you know, because that was what the whole blues was, you know, a lot of it was really, really sad material. And then this rock and roll thing gave it a little pickup that it needed and moved it to more fun instead of just crying all the time, you know?
Exactly. Well, and we wouldn't have had rock and roll without any of the blues, so.
Right, which is really...
oh, man, and then you got people like Ray Charles. Ray Charles helping to bring that blues music, like, into, like, the public eye. I love that.
Yeah,
thanks, and, Ray.
You know, solidifying the...
Bats Domino. Sorry.
Yeah, and solidifying the whole, hey, I'm really, really good at playing piano, and I'm just going to sing, and that's it. Like, I don't
Pretty
need
much.
Anything else. Like, I just need, you know, my piano and my awesome lyrics that everyone's
My
still
great loves. Voice.
Yeah. Which is, which is pretty cool, because, like, you go from... you know, what huge songs do we still know from the 40s? Yeah, exactly. But then there's a whole slew of them from the 50s that, you know, people still play, you know, like, unironically. Like, this just, everyone knows Blue Suede Shoes.
And the way that they released music was different, you know? You'd have a specific artist that you were seeing more on TV and everything. You know, that's the other thing, is TV changed the way that we saw music.
Sure, yeah, that
completely,
too.
You know, you
went
had
from a faceless...
yeah, you had a face with a name now. That's why everybody fell in love with Elvis, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shaking his hips on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Exactly.
But that's the whole thing, is it's like all of a sudden you have actual specific artists. It's not just songs that you hear that you love. It's actual artists, you know, putting out actual pieces of music that you're specifically going to the record store and buying with the intent of supporting that specific artist.
Yeah.
You know, just it's a totally different way to listen to music.
Yeah, and it is, you know, that's exactly what we have now. I mean, that was the birth of what we now know as music and how fans interact with their preferred artist. You know,
absolutely.
And especially, you know, more so then than now, you know, Elvis Presley would go to a radio station and talk and, you know, hey, here's my new stuff. Let's listen to it together, you know. And they wanted to just give their stuff directly to the audience, which wasn't really what people used to do because they didn't really have that technology. And they're like, hey,
no.
I made this awesome music. Here it is. I want you to listen to it.
What are you going to do? Take like a billion piece orchestra down to the local radio station? And
exactly. Which is really cool. And I like that access to my artists.
That
like...
farm to table music.
Exactly. Which is, I think, the the way that music should be.
Absolutely.
It should be, and I'm sure that's how people wanted their music to be before, but they just never had the technology to do it.
No.
Because really, at the end of the day, you're just trying to spread your music that you love and you want other people to enjoy.
Absolutely. And I think, too, just like having, you know, a totally different, like we said earlier, you know, the teenager was a thing now. Mm-hmm. Having a totally different audience that has like different wants and needs. Like they want to hear a song about like going to a soda shop and like dancing all night. You know what I mean? Like it's just, it's totally exactly. different. I love that. I think the teenager changed the way that we create and listen to music.
Yeah. And because of that, people that grew up and, you know, started playing, you know, you can listen to the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, you know, all of these early bands that were doing their stuff got their inspiration from listening to this American music that, like I said, it originated in America. This is where all this came from. And then it slowly started to trickle through to Europe and other places that then took their style. And then, you know, as we all know, the invasion of the English artists kind of took over in the 60s for sure. But the 50s, that's America. That was all us.
True fact. Oh, for sure it was all us.
Yeah, which is cool that we owned a decade at least before the
Brit. Well, and owned like a huge part of like musical history.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was the birthplace of all the music that we listen to now. Mostly.
Sort of. Mm-hmm. Except for that whole jazz influence thing.
Right. Which even still was, you know, created here.
That's from us, for sure. That's from, well, not us, but.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, in Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Pretty cool stuff, man.
Yeah, I think that more people should listen to the origins of all this kind of stuff. You know, not just, oh, I listen to Elvis Presley, I know who that is.
Like, well, yeah, duh, everybody knows who Elvis Presley is, but do you, right. like, know who Elvis Presley is?
Right, but listen to, you know, Chuck Berry and listen
to... Oh, my
to,
God. Little Richard.
Little Richard would be really great, because you can see this really early, what wasn't there before, and they were creating all of this rock music that, you know, eventually, you know, we took it to a different angle, but...
Yeah, you can skip all the evolved crooners business. Like, you don't need to listen to, like, Chances Are or, like, Pat Boone. Like, you're good.
Yeah, Pat Boone's not too bad. Yeah. Bo Diddley? Listen to some Bo Diddley?
There you go. Get you some.
Yeah, and listen to, and if nothing else, listen to Chuck Berry just, at that time, just shredding it on the guitar.
Absolutely. Yeah, making
killing it.
Well, Chuck Berry, and go listen to some Les Paul and hear people doing things with instruments that no one had ever heard anyone do before.
Yeah, like they would just stand there and play just the guitar and have a guitar solo that was, you know, 5 seconds long, but still, up to that point, that wasn't a thing. And they're just like, oh, I'm just going to shred the guitar real quick.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Man.
Which I think was really, really awesome that these guys, and with that, I guess you start going into stage presence that was never a thing before.
No, and you have people like Elvis Presley, like Buddy Holly, you know?
Buddy Holly, even as awkward as he was.
Oh, Buddy Holly.
Had his stage presence of him going, hey, yeah, I'm really good at this instrument, and I'm just going to take the lead real quick.
So cool.
I can appreciate. I like that.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Buddy Holly's death was like the first like major like celebrity death? Do you think? Like one of them?
Well, I guess with music?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about specifically.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you want to consider like the classical era greats. But I guess worldwide, probably, yeah.
Because, I mean, 22, like.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and what he did within, like, 3 years of his life.
Yes, that's crazy. He had, like, a whole career in 3 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah, changed the game and then died. Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, well, that sucks because he that's kind of the guy leading this, kind of.
Pretty much.
So then they had to pick up a very, very big weight and then carry it. But yeah, one little guy in, I think it was 2 or 3 years, showed everyone there's other things possible with this guitar thing. And everyone's like, oh yeah, there really is. Cool. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, we appreciate that, friendo.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Buddy Holly.
Right?
Yeah, you know, did you know that Waylon Jennings played in his band, too?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, he played bass for Buddy Holly.
That's super cool.
I think the year he died. But yeah.
The year that Buddy Holly died?
Buddy Holly died, yeah. Right. No, not the year Waylon Jennings died. Buddy Holly was long gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
We could talk about, I guess, Memphis becoming a thing.
True fact.
With all the, I guess really just, again, with Elvis just kind of taking the reins and bringing a lot of attention and focus to one little place. It was kind of the ground zero of all that stuff, really.
Well, yeah.
And I think it's pretty cool that not only was it like the middle of all this music going on, but it was like literally the middle of the country where you get the southern R&B blues influence, and then you get this northern kind of rock influence, and then you coming in from the west, you get the country music, and then it really is kind of
kind of a crossroads.
Yeah, exactly. It really was, like, geographically as well as the epicenter of these things. And I think that probably played a role in why there was this mixing that was so easy to do. Because within this, you know, triangle of sounds, you get all types of different music that you've been able to hear on the radio.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, the radio could only go so far, especially back in that day. So you kind of have this epicenter of the three different types of music that's kind of blending together, and I think a lot of it was geography based.
Well, the kind of music that you grew up with, you know, where you're from.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you have these areas that kind of blend together, you have some really cool stuff going on.
God, and without that, we wouldn't have had like Otis Redding and Sam and Dave. Like those are, I love that.
Yeah, right.
Can again imagine a world without Otis Redding.
Been pretty crazy.
That would be horrible.
Yeah.
That's not a world I want to live in.
Right. Or a world without Johnny Cash. I'm out.
Oh, bye.
Right?
Bye. Oh,
and
man.
The weird part about a lot of these guys were still around not too long ago.
Yeah.
Like, these guys saw the evolution of what they started and kind of the fruition of what could have happened. I think that's was probably really cool to watch them see this evolution of, you know, what they were doing in the early 50s and then, you know, what was able to happen from that. I think that was probably a pretty crazy thing to see.
Well, and the really cool growth and transformation that it took from the 50s into the 60s.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That in itself is fascinating.
Yeah. And just that evolution of especially what guitars were able to do.
Yeah, and that to me is just a great example of like a lot of really talented people being obsessed with the same thing and so just developing it really well.
Yeah, and just kind of pushing the boundaries of what was possible with all this stuff.
Yeah, what can be done. Mm-hmm. Oh God, we're so lucky. Like we're so lucky all these wonderfully talented people were like, "Hey, I wonder what would happen if I did this."
Yeah, right? Or you know, people behind the scenes doing all this recording stuff, like, what would happen if we did this instead?
What if I tried this?
Right? Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. It said stuff really, really progressed really quickly. Even just listening to Elvis Presley himself, the stuff he was playing in the mid-50s to what he was, or early and mid-50s to what he was playing in the late 50s.
Totally different.
Very different. Very,
totally
very
different.
Because you can hear that what would eventually become that 60s
sound.
I mean, this is all within 5-6 years.
That's crazy.
Really, really incredible. I mean, stuff like that doesn't happen now. of music as a whole changing within 5 or 6 years, which is pretty incredible. I bet that was just a really interesting time to see this evolve.
Dude, Elvis Presley had like 4 different careers in one career.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. How these people didn't have like, they weren't like a rock band, or they.
You didn't have to stick to one thing. You could have commercial success in multiple genres at the same time. And I don't mean like Taylor Swift, because that's not real. I mean like.
Yeah, that's actually a really good example of one that. Hey, good job.
Thanks.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, but it's not, and that's the thing though, is it didn't feel like success just because it's like, oh, well, they used to be a country artist, so we're just going to still love her. No, it's like, this person is making music that's popular across like multiple levels, so we're going to play it.
Yeah, because it's all really good and new and exciting.
Super good, yeah. And yeah. Because that's just the time. I love that. Mm-hmm. So cool.
Right?
So, so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Elvis. And then he started making some really shit stuff later on.
Well, then the 70s got a hold of him.
Ooh, that jumpsuit era. My goodness. The Viva Las Vegas era.
Yeah. It was...
Yikes.
Yikes is very true.
I think my favorite like Elvis pictures are the ones that he has for Jailhouse Rock. I don't know why. I just love that. He's so cute in his little stripy shirt.
Oh, yeah. All the... I guess the inmates dancing around the jail cells. Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. I guess maybe now to us, that's really goofy, but I like that goofiness.
Where it they was were just cute.
They were just trying to have fun, and it shows. And they, like I said, they weren't trying to be like.
Well, and they're appealing to a specific audience, you know, who will appreciate that.
Which is, the birth of pop music, you know?
Exactly.
That kind of. Trying to appeal to the young audience and kind of that happy-go-lucky poppy kind of sound that, you know, eventually gets carried on. But yeah, I enjoy that. It makes it seem, I guess I might be biased, but it makes it seem really, really wholesome. And I enjoy that.
I do too.
Because everyone wasn't trying to take everything so seriously.
Yeah. It was more fun, and fun for just like fun's sake, fun for the sake of trying something totally different and seeing if it worked, not fun for the sake of this artist, poor new artist has to twerk in all of her new music videos in order to make any money.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It was just a different time where people were just doing stuff to see why not, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I heard this song. I'm going to do a cover of it. Okay. Done.
But I'm going to tweak it just a little bit.
I'm gonna make it a little bit more R&B than country.
Or I'm gonna make it more rock and roll than whatever.
Exactly. Oh man.
But we can also talk about how this was the death of people listening to like a lot of stringed instruments or wind instruments or like accordions and all kinds of crazy instruments that people don't really listen to anymore.
That's true.
It was definitely the changing of the guard, I think, with what music is.
That's true. But
it's pretty cool that stuff started kind of come back around a little bit where people kind of re-found out about how you can make a lot of cool noises with orchestral songs now, or instruments.
That's really true.
Which is nice because, you know, you can add them together and make some really cool stuff.
It's true. What's cool, too, is like this time, you know, while a lot of these other huge names were out doing their thing, you have people like Roy Orbison, who's like working his way up and like kind of trying to make his way and like learning all this stuff, like working at Sun Records and all that kind of cool stuff. And I don't know, writing a lot and.
Yeah, and then, yeah, we can talk about the evolution of these guys behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And just the rapidly changing technology that was happening at this time that allowed us to have, you know, really, really good production and things to happen in the 60s that would not never have been able to have been possible in the 40s, you know?
Exactly.
And these guys that, you know, spent a lot of time in the studio and really learned the ins and outs of everything and were able to develop these cool new techniques and tricks and stuff that we all enjoy now. But
so cool.
That's about all I really wanted to talk about with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, Calypso, the Birth of Ska, don't forget.
Calypso, Birth of Ska, you dummy.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, just kind of a cool time to have birthed a huge, massive movement that we're still feeling like the reverb from today.
That we can owe 90% of the music that we listen to on a day-to-day basis to this 10-year
to this
period.
Specific era. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
A multitude of genres were born in this 10-year period. Which is...
Man, what are we
can't
doing?
Really say that about other decades.
And what did we give the world? Skrillex.
Hey.
You're welcome, guys.
There's nothing wrong with Skrillex.
Anyway, so should we move on to our reviews of the homework that we signed each other last time?
I think that's a great idea.
Well, okay. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? Or do we rock, paper, scissors this?
I'll go
rock, paper, scissors?
No, I'll go first. I'll go first.
Okay.
So my homework was to listen to Little Hell from the band City in Color. First things first, I liked it. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty much exactly what I thought it was going to be.
I kind of figured that you wouldn't be too surprised. So.
Yeah. I was like, okay, this is what's going to happen. And it did. And I was okay with it. Two really, really good songs that I really, really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Fragile Bird, which I guess everyone knows that song.
Yeah.
And then the second really, really good song was Weightless.
Did you like Weightless?
I did. I really enjoyed that,
yes!
that song.
Okay, can I just say that my two favorite songs on that album totally matched up with your two favorite songs on the album?
Hey-o.
That's pretty cool.
I guess we got good taste, huh? Or bad
pretty
taste.
Pretty good taste. Eh, whatever.
But what I liked, especially about Weightless, was that he really let his what he wanted to happen breathe. Like, he gave it some room to explore. Because a lot of times, music of this type, this, what do we call this?
Genre?
Yeah.
Like, alternative folk. I don't really know what you would call
this. Is that indie folk revival?
Kind of,
does this fit,
I guess. Maybe.
More funky than anything else. Anyway, what I like about this album, more so in this song, but without the album too, that a lot of these type of bands don't let the song breathe. It hits 3.5 minutes and the song's over.
Yeah.
And I don't think there were any songs that were under three or around that time. Most of them were over 4 minutes. So I kind of gave the song a little bit more time to breathe, especially Weightless almost coming in at 5 minutes. You
worth
know me,
it.
I like long songs. I like them to really, you know, go through the motif and play.
Did you
with
listen
them.
To the demo version of Weightless?
I did.
What'd you think?
I like the studio version better.
I kind of do too, but I really like that demo version too.
It's good, yeah. But I, with this kind of music, I like having a little bit more production on it. Because if not, it just sounds, I don't know, like a. Like a garage band. I don't know. I like having a little bit more polish on my music. Surprise, surprise. But overall, a good mix of different types of songs, which I also enjoyed. It wasn't just the same type of song over and over again.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like about Dallas Green, is he's really good about like making it a little eclectic. Like, a whole album won't sound exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I also found out that this is a one-man band.
Yeah, I told you that.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, one guy making all this music, and I really appreciate someone who can do that. Whether or not I actually enjoy their music, I can unbelievably appreciate someone who can play all these different types of instruments and produce it together and mix it all together. I think that's incredible. So
he's pretty great.
Yeah, so crazy props to him for that. I would recommend the album. It's a good album.
It's a great album.
Especially a couple, three songs are really worth listening to several times. Yeah, it's another good pick. Congratulations.
Yes. See, sometimes I have really good suggestions.
You do. That's true.
I try.
Fair enough.
So,
Oh, all right. Lady, your turn.
Well, I was assigned a band called World's End Girlfriend, and I was assigned the album Last Waltz.
Oh, yeah.
So the saga started when I could not find the album again.
Yep.
Couldn't find the Tool album. Couldn't find this album. Started to get really annoyed with sending Parker text messages. I was like, okay.
Well, where couldn't you find these bands?
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
Spotify, iTunes. And then I couldn't find, like, that was the thing, is I was like, well, I'll try YouTube. And I couldn't find the whole thing on YouTube. I could find like two songs and that was it. Mm-hmm. And so Parker was like, hey, go check out Bandcamp because they'll have it. And yeah, BT Dubs, if you're into like new music, which I assume you are if you listen to this podcast, go check out Bandcamp.com. It's pretty cool. They've or got
any kind of music. Bandcamp is just, yeah, the best.
Yeah, it's just got lots of music on there. It's pretty cool.
And not only that,
ooh,
but because it's so awesome, a lot of these bands, you know, they have their Bandcamp and they'll just have their album out. You can listen to it, a lot of them, for free. And then if you want, there's just a little button, and most of these albums are $10 and it just goes right to the band.
Which is awesome.
It doesn't go to any other thing. It
doesn't
you don't have
go
to
through iTunes. Yeah,
you don't have to pay anybody a percentage of that money. It goes right to the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. It's because especially a lot of these smaller people that, you know, aren't really, really big that I really enjoy. It's nice to be able to throw money at these little guys.
Yeah, they need it too.
Yeah, so absolutely. Yeah. Especially now it's so hard to get your foot in the door.
Absolutely it is. Well,
yeah,
if you're not. Anyway. Continue. Anyway. So when I did finally find it on Bandcamp, I noticed, unfortunately, the entire album was not available. So I can only go off of the six songs or five songs.
Could you find
the
ones that aren't on there on YouTube?
Nope.
Ah.
So I did what I could. Mm-hmm. but this is not totally comprehensive, so my bad. But it starts off with just overall, it's not bad at all. Like, it's actually pretty. I like.
What kind of music is this for the people?
Ambient music. It's like, okay. I don't know. When I was listening to it, I was like, this kind of sounds like something that would be in the background of a video game.
Yeah.
And I had to try really hard to not think about it like that. Mm-hmm. Because if I think about it like that, I'm going to hate it. So. But yeah, it was interesting though. It's very like, it's all like instrumentals. There's not really lyrics. It's very ambient, I guess, kind of progressive maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
That's what all of your music. Yeah. All of your music is progressive. So that's always a safe adjective to throw out there.
Awesome.
Starts off with a song called Plain Soleil, which is not bad at all. I actually really, really enjoyed that very first song on the album. Very chill, good stuff. And then it went into the names of these songs are ridiculous, by the way. You said they're from Japan?
Yes, this is a Japanese band. Yep.
Yeah, the titles of the songs make a lot more sense when you know that they're from Japan.
And it's really only one person doing it too.
Of course it is. So, first song, not bad at all. I liked it. In fact, I listened to it a couple of times. Then it goes into a song called Angel Ache. I really like the strings at the beginning of that song. I thought they were really, really pretty. But then it kind of went a little off the rails, like, as it continues.
Yeah. Stuff gets pretty
crazy. Yeah. Then there was Flowers of Romance, which I guess is, like, one of the more popular songs off of this album, if you could call it that, because that was the easiest one to find everywhere. I really like the tones at the beginning, but I really hate when there is music playing and it has like a random word or words repeated over and over.
Right.
Because to me, that's too like performance arty and I don't like it.
Too experimental.
Not even. It just feels like I'm at like an underground gallery in some city and like some guy's like
Dancing naked on a
dancing.
stage.
Yes, exactly. Like, and I just, it's too much. It's too
But he's got
performance
tape
arty.
over his mouth because he's censored or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Right.
So, yeah, that was Flowers of Romance. That was, yeah, I couldn't. I was like, okay, I get it. Then I went to into Crystal Chrysalis again. This is, I can't make this shit up, folks.
I was wondering, what do you think about the song names?
I didn't like Crystal Chrysalis. I thought that it was whatever. I literally just wrote pass. Like,
Okay,
didn't
fair
listen
enough.
to it again. And then I actually liked the last song that I could hear, at least on the album, which was Girl. I didn't mind that at all. I thought it was pretty, thought it was interesting. Overall, good, well put together album. I'll probably go back and listen to some of the songs off of it. I wouldn't listen to the entire thing again.
Yeah.
And it could have just been like the way I was listening to it. Are there transitions on this album?
Yes.
It must have been the way that I was listening to it because I couldn't hear anything. And that I was like, this seems weird for this kind of an artist to not do that, but
Oh, but not between
obviously.
all the songs, but there are definitely transitions,
Are
though.
there some transitions?
Yeah.
Oh, my
So, what
bad.
was your favorite song from this album?
I liked Plain Soleil and I liked Girl.
Yeah, I think "Plain Soleil" is easily the best song.
The best song off that album,
I listen to
for
that
sure.
song just by itself. It's a really, really good song. I mean, the vocals in that song, come on, so good.
So good. I agree. I agree. But yeah, love long songs too.
Yeah, I
Or they felt
guess.
maybe they really weren't even that long. They just felt long.
Yeah, really not that
But
long.
I will
Well,
say I had
if
to make sure. I'm sorry.
I mean, if
Go
you're
ahead.
used to 4 minute long songs, then yeah, it's gonna be a long song.
Which I'm not. They just felt long.
All right, fair enough.
So, but yeah, not really like what I would normally go to. I do like instrumentals, but not immediately what I would have gone for. But I actually enjoyed it. It wasn't bad at all.
Good. I'm glad you didn't hate it. That's all I'm asking for.
I'm sorry. It was good. It wasn't, I didn't dislike it.
Good.
So,
Good to hear.
yeah.
But yeah, it was it's definitely kind of one of the more out ones that I was going to give you. Just kind of wanted to see what you thought about that kind of stuff.
I had a feeling.
Because I'm not intentionally giving you bad albums. And it's a really, really good album. It's probably the best from that band, I would imagine.
Really? I kind of, that's, I read some reviews and that seemed to be the general
Yeah, it's kind of the
consensus.
culmination of kind of where they were building up to, and they do it really, really well in this album, which I like. I like that you can kind of see where they're going, and then they finally do it in an album, and you're like, thank God, finally, which is kind of what this album is.
True. Very true.
Well, hey, that's not too bad then.
No, not bad at all. Well done, us.
Well done.
Good job, team.
Okay, so
Okay.
we're getting to the new homework point.
No, not yet. We got to
Or
do
not?
skip or play first.
Oh, we're doing skip or play
Guys,
first.
Parker doesn't know how the show goes.
Sorry.
No, we're going to do skip or play.
Okay.
You don't have a skip or play, do you?
I do have a. I didn't know. Do you want me to go first? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I don't know. Yeah, go
Okay.
first.
Then I'll go first then.
Go first then.
So my pick is a play, and it's a song that I sent you earlier today, actually. It's by the band called Velveteers. One word.
Oh my God, you guys. I
Or
can't make this up.
that's how I pronounce it, Velveteers, but it looks like velvet ears, but it's one word. And the song name is Will I Ever Care? And we were talking about this earlier. This is probably the biggest offender of a song not being long enough and it's so good, but it's only 2 minutes and 30 seconds long, and it needs to be 10 minutes.
It really is a really, really good song, because he sent me this, and I was like, and then I actually listened to it. It was really good.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's nice, chill music, really good vocals coming through, some really, really good harmony, and just a good slow build-up with a little like electronic background. Really good, but like I said, it needs to be 10 minutes long, because there's so much more to play with in this song. So that is my play.
Good job. Sorry. My play is going to be a song that I haven't been able to stop listening to all day long today for some reason.
What
I was texting
that?
Me alone. So I was texting Parker earlier because I was listening to all this different stuff. And sometimes, I don't know if you guys ever get this, but sometimes I get song ADHD. And it's a problem. And I can't listen to just one artist or one thing. I start skipping around and listen to all this random stuff. And somehow, Africa by Toto came on, and I have not been able to stop listening to it. And I think it's kind of underestimated. Do you guys realize that that's kind of one of the greatest songs ever written?
It's like, so good.
It's so good. Yeah. Why is it so good? Like,
and it's not because like the lyrics are really good or the musicianship
is
really good.
The lyrics are stupid. In fact, that song is one of the worst offenders of one of the things that I hate that people do, where they try to put too many syllables in a line that doesn't have enough room for that.
Yeah, really stretching out that
Serengeti. Whew,
Serengeti.
I hate that.
I think that's the only time I've ever heard the word Serengeti in a song. Thinking about it now. Have you heard another song with Serengeti in it?
Probably off a Lion King soundtrack.
And how awkward that that rhymes with...
Which is ridiculous. But yeah. Doesn't make any sense. Like, it's a ridiculous song, but it's just got that great, rushing crescendo, at the
hook.
Beginning of that hook gets you every single time. And then when you talked about how Master of None, a Netflix series, does the best job of using that song.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Ever.
Yeah.
Second only to when they use it on Scrubs.
Oh,
and Zach Braff is singing
totally
it in the bathtub.
That one, good call. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Nice.
But yeah, oh, so good. But yeah, guys, secret's out. I have terrible taste in music. I don't know why they're letting me do this show.
But it's so good. It's like it's
it really
past
is
the
good.
Point of a novelty song, you know?
No, it's just a good song. Like it's a terrible band had a really great song.
Really, really good song. That's one of the best hooks you could probably. That's
ever.
Probably ever happened. Yeah.
Oh,
and
God. It's
like I said,
up there.
I'm thinking the song is about him having it really, really bad for a African-American girl.
You could say a black girl. That's not bad.
What it's,
I think you might be right.
Going on.
I think you might be right.
Yeah.
There's who knows?
Some innuendos
knows
in there.
Toto.
I think that when he said it's raining down, and I don't think he's talking about actual.
Oh, rain. No. I never thought about that.
Yeah, I think there's some.
All right, all right.
Under windows.
Hey.
Anyway, yeah, I think. So yeah, that's a good song.
So stupid.
And that song is perfect in length. I don't think it needs to be shorter or longer.
It really is, because it's not too short. It's not too long. It's
you still get three courses.
Yep.
I think. Or four, maybe.
I think it's three.
You get to hear him wail out the rain down in Africa.
Gonna take my life. Yeah.
And also, y'all need to see the music video, because I think it also confirms my suspicions about the song.
Oh, I didn't think about there being a music video.
And there is a music video in it. I think I'm correct in my
in your assumptions?
Yeah, I think so.
Aren't you the one who told me that there's a Led Zeppelin song about him having it really bad for his cousin or something?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was you. I think that was you that told me that.
Yeah. What is and what should never be.
Never be. That's what it is. Oh, God.
Pretty sure.
It's so much worse when you say the name of the song.
But I think... I've heard some rumors that that's what it is, but I'm not quite sure. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but anyway, it's definitely interesting lyrics. If you,
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, speaking of it, Led Zeppelin was real dirty in their lyrics. Oh my goodness. Whew.
Right?
Just, yeah. Bunch of dirty old men. Yeah.
Seriously, though.
Well, I guess at the time they were dirty 20-year-olds.
They're young men, yeah. They're dirty 22-year-olds.
Yeah, what do you expect?
Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess we can move on to their new homework assignments. What do you think?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So
you go first. Tell me what you want me to listen to.
I am just going to assign you a song.
Okay.
Just because I don't know if you've ever heard the song. And so I feel like I need to assign it because it's a song that I really like that I feel like is an integral part of me.
Oh.
Sort of. I don't know. Who fucking knows? So, but it's. Mm-hmm. It's the song Kate by Ben Folds Five.
Kate?
Kate.
Kate Ben Folds Five. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's so you only have to listen to a song.
Okay.
But I want you to listen to that and then come back with some thoughts. And we'll wrap it out and see what we think.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. What you got for me? Maybe with your best shot, fire away.
Hey, that's... Okay.
Pat Benatar song.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
You're
okay,
welcome.
So I want you to listen. I don't know if you've heard. I don't really know. So the band.
I swear to God, guys, we're friends in real life. Like, yeah.
So the band Mute Math, which I'm not a huge fan of, but they have one song that's really, really good, and it's called Reset.
Okay.
By Mute Math.
Mute Math. Mm-hmm. Reset. Mute Math is all one word.
Mute Math is one word, yes.
All right, good to know. Just for those of you playing along out there.
Yes. But yeah, Mute Math is a interesting band, and apparently they write a lot of their music by emailing each other snippets of what they're working on, and they kind of just put it together when they get together in a studio.
Like Postal Service?
Sure.
That's how they got their name.
Oh. Then yes.
They used to send each other the music that they were working on in the mail, and then they would, yeah.
And they also play guitars, which I think is super awesome.
Oh, no. Why do you do this? Why don't you just say, like, hey, Lane, here's the thing. Listen to this. But instead, what you do is you go, oh, and here's five terrible facts about it that are going to make you hate it before you even listen to it.
Because I'm trying to destroy your preconceived notion.
Oh God,
it should be. How about that? Is that progressive enough for you?
I hate it.
Yeah, really good song though. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of a lot of their stuff, but this song is really, really good. And yeah? I wish they would sound more like this, and I would really like them a lot more.
Oh, I wish you would sound more like this.
Wow.
Oh man. All right. Well, I'll give it a shot. No promises. We'll see how that goes. Mm-hmm. So, but I think.
Yeah. Is that?
I think that's pretty much it.
What do I want to talk about?
Guys, I think that this is how we end the show.
Oh, no. Oh, I gotta tell people if there's anyone that's out there listening that is into metal music, which there might be a couple.
Oh, that's right.
The new Mastodon album. That I listened to, the new one that came out, is not very good.
Yeah, he was really jonesing to tell you guys that.
Yeah. Which
the
I
new
was,
Mastodon album is not good.
I was a little upset about, because Mastodon's been slowly slipping away from what it should be.
From greatness?
Yeah, because...
I do actually like Mastodon. You've had me listen to some Mastodon, and I do actually enjoy it.
Because for the longest time, they were... a pretty good, solid go-to band for rock and metal music. You know, I guess I should tell you the new album name is Emperor of Sand.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't like, if you didn't like their last album, Once More Around the Sun, then you're probably not going to like this album because it's all the worst aspects of that, and it's the entire album.
I'm looking at the album art now, and no, thank you.
Oh yeah, the skull guy in the.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's exactly what you think of like what like a metal album cover would look like. It's what it looks like.
Their other album covers are really good, especially Leviathan, because it's a whole album dedicated to Moby Dick.
So, oh my god!
All the songs are like Iron Tusk, I Am Ahab, Sea Beast, like that. Really,
all right.
Yeah. Anyway, the new album's really not that good, but you should check it out anyway.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I barely made it through the album. I was getting really close to just not listening to all of it, which is kind of crappy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I might have a new band that I broke up with.
You guys.
I'm saying, right?
It's going to be a sad day.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all I got for music news or anything else I wanted to talk about. What about you? All
right. No, I don't have anything else. I've been making my kids in my class listen to a lot of music that they don't realize they're listening to. So that's been kind of cool. I'm subliminally like trying to expand their musical knowledge.
And what are you making them listen to?
Scale the Summit.
Whoa. What kind of band
is
that?
Shut up. I don't know, Parker. What kind of a band is it?
It's a really good, I don't know, metal band, I guess.
Okay. But yeah, I've been having them do a lot of like instrumental stuff and just kind of seeing what they like, what they don't like. We've been listening to a little Balmoria, a little Scale of Summit, some Mogwai, just kind of whatever I can throw at them and just to see kind of how they think of it. They've listened to
songs is what it sounds.
Yeah, they've listened to a little bit of Led Zeppelin. Which has been fun. They actually really enjoyed that.
Does Led Zeppelin come up basically several times every show that we have?
Yes.
Okay.
Why wouldn't it?
I don't know. I figure people are going to get tired of it eventually.
Well,
too bad, because we're
too fucking bad.
Yeah. Exactly.
Basically what the show is. So, all right. Well, cool. I guess we can end. Do you have anything else you want to throw out there? Any other disappointing metal albums that you've listened to lately?
Nope. That's all I got.
Well, okay. Well, Mr. Parker, where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at theepicallygeeky.com.
Oh, tell them where else they can find you now.
I'm on Instagram. I got an Instagram. And I forgot what my name was on it. Whoops.
It's Make the Beer.
That's right.
I'm glad I know. All one word, Make the Beer. Mm-hmm. He hasn't posted anything yet, but the good news is that now that he has one, I can tag him. So get ready for that, guys.
And did you want to tell him about the Spotify?
I'm getting there.
Roger that.
So you can find me, myself, and I on the internet at the epicallygeeky.com website. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at It's a Lainey Bird. And as Parker was alluding to, we are in the process. Hopefully by the time this show goes out, you guys will be able to find us on Spotify. Hey. We realized that we throw all this music out there at you, and how nice would it be if it was all in one nice little spot?
Spotify.
Perfect for a spot of reference. I love it. Perfect. It's going to be under Epic Rhythm and Brews, all one word. And we'll put some playlists on there. If there's something you guys want to see, we can do that. You know, we thought maybe like one for picks and, or not picks and pans, for plays and skips, one for maybe some of the different shows that we've done. You know, we'll make you guys a playlist of the covers that we talked about on one of our other shows, you know, bands that we've broken up with. We can do a playlist for that. So, but yeah, just a way to bring the music to the people.
I'm excited. I think it'll be nice for people to just have a good reference.
Absolutely. So you can follow us. Yeah. So you can follow us on Spotify. Pretty cool stuff, man.
I can't wait.
I know. I'm actually really excited for that. So let us know what you guys think. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes.
Yes.
Let us know if there's anything we forgot to talk about in the 50s in our little rambling conversation. Give us a rating. Tell us if there's anything you want to hear. You know, are there some bands that you're listening to that you want us to cover? We're super down for that. We always love to learn about new music that's out there. And that's pretty much it. So give us a shout and check us out.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
This has been a presentation of the Epically Geeky Network.